So let me ask you this. Have you had an epiphany lately? We're much more used to hearing the word epiphany these days. It has become an everyday word to usually describe a moment of personal revelation or enlightenment. And usually it describes something that brings clarity to an otherwise cloudy or murky outlook. We think of epiphanies typically as moments of personal cognizance, which then create for us a path forward, although it's not always easy, it's definitely clear. Epiphany is one of those words that when the Bible was translated into the language of the people, it just stayed the same as it was in the original Greek language. It's not translated epiphany. The epi is that Greek preposition meaning around, and phane is that word meaning to shine or to show or to illuminate. The word manifest is the same thing, but that's been co-opted for other things, like so that you can make things happen for yourself. But that's not an epiphany. An epiphany is an occasion which sheds light where previously there was no light. It enlightens an area that was previously dark, frequently a dark place that we didn't even know existed for ourselves. So the true experience of epiphany is when you find out that you now know what you previously didn't know, but that you needed to know. You follow? Remember, and hang on to me here, there are things that you know. We got that, right? We know what we know. We also know that there are things we don't know, right? Yeah, like I don't know how to fly an airplane, but I know that I don't know how that, right? Well, there are also things that you don't know that you don't know. And that's where epiphanies come in. Epiphanies illuminate those things that we didn't know that we didn't know. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. I know it's technically the 12th day of Christmas, but we're just hitting the fast forward button because we're not going to do church on Monday and you're not going to be here. So we're going to do it today, okay? As the Bible tells us in the first century of the Common Era, Israel, their story of God's dealings with humanity had only gone through them up to them, and this in that one ethnic and national clique that was, you know, that little strip of land between two major continents. God's plan in choosing a particular people was intended to be a launching point to save all people from their worst selves. By the way, when you hear me say our worst selves, that's my way of saying our sins, okay? Saving us from our sins. It's also the saving us from our worst selves. This plan was never intended to provide any group with, ethnic group or ethnic religion as and some sort of privilege. It wasn't meant to stay that way. And it certainly wasn't intended to be confined to a particular people worshiping in a particular way, all right? God's plan had always been to bring good news to the whole world. And what is that news that is good? The news that we are loved by a creator who wants us to love each other in the same way. Very simple, but good news, right? So this epiphany story of the wise guys coming from the East, it has etched a place in the imagination of Christians throughout history. And artists, you know, have tried to capture a picture of what this visit to Bethlehem might have looked like, and they've taken a lot of what we might call artistic license. And you know what? We experience part of it in that song that we sang, because we three kings, there's nowhere Matthew says there were three kings. We don't know how many there were. We don't know. We don't even know their names. But we do know their names, and we do know how many. Why? Well, it wasn't because we read the Bible. It's because we believe what the artists have told us, those who write songs and those who paint pictures. Many things we conjure up in our brains about the visit of these stargazers from South Asia are only constructs created by art. So, Matthew does not say anything about the wise men being side by side with the shepherds to worship the baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem on Christmas night. We know that, right? Matthew's story was trying to relate a much different and universal aspect of the meaning of Christ's birth. Matthew's story is reaching into the hopes and dreams that Israel had always harbored. These wise guys were actually magi. And what are magi? Well, the Greek word in the singular is magus, okay? And what was a magus? Who was a magus? A magus was a man who found himself in a particular caste of learned men in Zoroastrian Persian life, right? And these people were, whose purpose in life was to read the times. They were to see where truth was taking humanity, to respond to the telltale signs of in the world around them, and to seek truth and find out where truth was taking the world. They didn't have Google. They didn't have the Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember encyclopedias, everybody? Some people don't in here. I'm too young. Yeah, exactly. They didn't have books by Wayne Dyer or L. Ron Hubbard or Oprah. What they had was God's creation. Think about it, how life would have been back in those days in South Central Asia. When your life isn't being sapped away by endless doom scrolling on your phone or channel surfing, what do you do? Well, you lay down and you look at the sky. And you look at the sky and you see those stars. And that's what wise men did. And that's why we call them that. They looked to the stars and they read them. Now, the Genesis creation story, you got to keep that in the background here. Why? Because it tells Israel's version of the world as it came into being, right? Do you realize that everything that people worshipped back then outside of Israel, everything that they worshipped was created by God, and every one of those things gets named in the creation story? Yeah, everything. You probably never read Genesis 1 as a diss track on other religions of the time, but it is. Every line of it, every day of creation is a deep burn on popular religions of that day and age. So we all know what was created on day one, right? Day one is what was created? Light. But when were the lights in the sky actually created in the creation story? Not till day four, right? When we're told that God made the two great lights, we call them the sun and the moon. And then there's this almost afterthought, and this is on the fourth day of creation. You can look it up in Genesis chapter 1, and it says, oh yeah, and the stars. Yeah, that thing that a lot of people worship, oh yeah, he created those too. God created everything that people worship, yes, even the stars. So sure, people read the stars back then, and these wise men were the type who kept their eyes open and were open to what God was making happen in the world, and they didn't know why. So Matthew's story of these visitors from the East tell us that learned seekers of all religions found something compelling about God's creation. Creation is not the thing to be worshipped, but it does point the way to what is worthy of worship. You realize that? You realize that's the definition of idolatry versus, well, what we do. Worshiping the creation versus the creator. The post-nativity visit of the wise men demonstrates a valid pathway to God's truth. And it also validates a myriad of pathways to God in the world. And it may be a pathway of your own or of someone you love, right? We all come to God by way of different paths. But not all who wander are lost. Wandering isn't a bad thing when it's in the service of truth. And by the way, all truth is God's truth. We, the church, yeah, we can get a little stingy in allowing for sources of truth and truth-telling that doesn't emanate from us. Not all who wander are lost. The wise who study God's creation can see truth because all truth is from God. The hopes and dreams of that portion of the universe would be fulfilled in a way that the whole world would eventually benefit Christ's birth. Usually when one nation gets what they want, it usually means bad news for everyone else. But no, that's not what's going on here. God's choice to fulfill this expectation in a way that created a new future was ready to be received by only a few people, a few in Israel, and then a few in the rest of the world. And that's what these guys represent. We're fortunate. Consider yourself fortunate that you didn't have to wander, or maybe you did, to find this gift of God. We are blessed to live in a country where you can find churches all over the place, right? The downside of not experiencing wandering, though, is that truth can be taken for granted. But the reality is that the truth is still in us, and truth is who we are in the world. Yeah, we are that. We are the messengers of this truth, and we are still the ones who are called to be the epiphany of Christ to the world. Do you realize that? We embody the reality of the love of our God to the point that we become the epiphany of Christ to everyone in our lives, to everyone in the world even. This is what we've been created for, to reflect His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father. So, what's your epiphany today? The star points to us, and the world is watching. To the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.